You are listening to the Makers Church podcast. For more information about our community, please visit makerschurch.org.
Amen. Well, good morning, Makers Church. You guys can go ahead and have a seat. My name is Shalise, and I'm one of the pastors here. If we've never had a chance to meet, thank you, Young Life, for filling in our back rows today. Next time, you guys can sit in the front. I'll save spots for you up here. I need some youthful energy up in the front, okay? I am a tired this, you know what, Bob? I apologize. You're absolutely right. You know what? Shame on me. You're right. I appreciate your youthful energy, Bob. I'm a little tired this morning, so if I ramble, if I say some weird things, as Billy Jack mentioned, it is homecoming weekend. Not only for San Diego State, I am an Aztec. I did go to San Diego State. I care absolutely not for San Diego State athletics. Gosh, I forgot my mom coached at San Diego State. Wow, I'm really just putting my foot in it first thing this morning. Bob, we love you. You're young. Mom, I love San Diego State. Go Aztecs. We're off to a great start. This is a really, really good start. I got 5 hours of sleep last night. And I know for some of you, probably parents in the room, you're like, oh my gosh, 5 whole hours? It's amazing. But low-key, I've been going to bed at 7:30 at night lately. So 5 hours felt like a really short nap. I did not feel like I actually went to bed last night. So we had our high school football game on Friday that was absolutely amazing and fun and so much energy until the lights went out on the entire city block. And then we just had hundreds of teenagers who were like, this is my moment. I rushed the field and we're like, it is just me standing there like, no, don't do it. And I was like, well, that was a fun experience. And then last night we had our homecoming dance, which was themed Mamma Mia. So I was a dancing queen all night long. And it was really, really, really fun. But it was an exhausting weekend. But this is actually our second exhausting weekend in a row. My husband and I decided last week that it would be a good idea to just have sleepovers the whole weekend. And so on Friday night, we went up to Orange County and we got my nephew Teddy, who is 3, and we brought him down for the entire weekend. And when we had decided to do this, I kind of forgot that I also told our neighbors that we would watch their 2 girls as well on Saturday. And then I consciously chose to have my 3 nieces come over on Sunday. And I just told Drew, I was like, babe, this is trial by fire. Let's have 14 kids over. On top of that, we're also watching my best friend's 2 dogs and my neighbor's dog. So we had 5 extra kids, 4 extra dogs. And my husband has been sick ever since, shockingly. He's like, I have to stay home and sleep. He's not even here today. Because he was so tired after his long weekend. So Drew and I have decided we only want 1 child now. We were originally 2 sounds great. And then at one point I was like, hey, maybe 3. I come from 4 sisters. And then after this weekend, we were like, are we sure we want to do this? We could just have 1 child and then they can have lots of friends that you guys raise and then we don't have to raise them. And that sounds like a really great plan to me now. But the highlight of the weekend, aside of course from my nephew and all those cute little moments, was that I watched my first episode of Bluey ever. I know that I am late to the Bluey train. For those of you who are you just watched Bluey, yes. And for those of you who are what's Bluey? I used to be like you too. It's okay. There is help for you. But Bluey, if you don't know what Bluey is an Australian cartoon show about this dog family of blue heelers, and they're really cute and sweet. And it stars Bluey. Bluey's a girl, I did not know that. And she has her sister Bingo. And it's basically these 8-minute animated shorts. They're absolutely incredible. But it's not just a funny, cute, oh, that's so sweet. Bluey hits hard, you guys. I was not prepared. There are episodes of Bluey that are on lost friendships. There's an episode that's about this existential heavenly encounter. There's even Bluey episodes on infertility. And I was like, Bluey, like, what? So I woke up yesterday morning after my wild night out, and I was like, I'm going to channel, like, my inner child Saturday morning cartoons, and let's put on an episode of Bluey. So I just pull up season one on Disney Plus, and my niece had been watching it last, so I just play the next episode. And the next episode was season one. It's an episode called Copycat, and it talks about death. And I was not prepared to be talking about death at like 7 a.m. with this cute little Australian healer dog. And so Bluey, in this episode, finds this little bird. They call it a budgie. It's this little bird. Has anybody seen this episode? Okay. Spoilers for the rest of you. It'll still be good. Go watch it. So Bluey finds this little bird, Budgie, in the yard, and Budgie is sick. Budgie is not doing well. And so Bluey and her dad decide that they are going to take Budgie to the vet. And so they take this little, very unwell bird to the vet, and then it, like, scene cut, and the vet walks out, and the vet says, "It's bad news, I'm afraid. The budgie didn't make it." And you just see, like, the sadness overcoming Bluey in this moment. And Bluey says to her dad, she says, "Dad, I don't want the budgie to have died." And I'm already like, uh-huh, yep, no, we don't want that. We definitely don't want that stupid little bird to die. And then Bluey's dad looks at her, and this is what he says to her. He says, "I know. There's nothing we can do. It's out of our hands." Later on in the episode, we go back to the house, and Bluey is kind of reenacting what happened with Bingo, her sister. And when they get to the part where the budgie dies, Bluey says to Bingo, she says, "I know, there's nothing we can do. It's out of our hands." And to say that I was like sobbing at 7 a.m. would have been an understatement, because this just hit me so, so hard. It was just this really simple, simple truth that death in all of its shapes and forms, be it the death of a dream, of a person, of a vision, of a love, like, death is not something that we can avoid. There's nothing we can do. It is out of our hands. It's a part of nature. It's a part of life, and unfortunately, it's an inevitable part of the human experience. And I know there is so, so much senseless death happening in our world right now. It's heartbreaking. It's overwhelming. You turn on the TV, you open up social media, and all that we see is chaos and death and destruction, and it feels like death is winning. And I know that in these moments, especially when it comes to like big global crises, things that feel so far out of our control, it often feels like there's nothing we can do. And it's all out of our hands. And I've been sitting in the heaviness kind of all that is happening, trying to think of what to talk about on Sunday. And I'm crying over Bluey, and I'm like, I don't know, like, how do we make sense of a world that just isn't making sense? And I was going through Common Prayer because we're going through this book, and we're supposed to pick something from that week, and everything I'm reading, I'm like, nope, 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 don't want to talk about that. Like, just things that were not speaking to me. And I went back, and somehow I had missed it, but on Monday, there are these phrases, these liturgical phrases that are repeated throughout a section, throughout a day. And on Monday, this was the phrase that I read, and this is what I would like to focus our talk on today. It says, "Dying, we rise to you, O Lord. Come, be our light." Dying, we rise to you, O Lord. Come, be our light. To be honest, I did not want to stand up here and give a heavy talk on death. The last two talks that I've given since I've been back from sabbatical have covered both of our miscarriages, the death of my dear friend, Amanda, And as I was prepping for this week, I really wanted to speak on something light. I promise you, I was like, don't make them cry, make them laugh. If you keep making them cry, they're not going to want you to get up there because you're going to see me walk up and you're gonna be like, oh gosh, here we go again. Like, get the Kleenex. I wanted to do something light. I wanted to talk about our crazy weekend and how Drew and I learned how to be a tag team. I wanted to talk about Hulk Hogan and Macho Man Randy Savage and how when you feel like you can't go on, you just reach your hand out and touch your partner and they tag you in. I had a slide. It was gonna be hilarious. You're just gonna have to take my word for it. We were gonna talk about the building of the Temple of Ezra and this generational passing of the Torah and how sometimes you can't do it, but you just got to reach out your hand and tap the next person and that they will take you to the next season of life. It was going to be a totally decent, not depressing talk at all. But I couldn't shake this feeling that it just wasn't the right time. And I was sitting there yesterday morning. And trust me when I tell you, if you've ever had to stand up and give a talk, nobody wants to change their talk the day before. That's not like a good practice. That's not best practices for giving a talk, especially in front of people. But I was sitting there at my kitchen table in the early morning, just praying. And I could not get that phrase out of my head. Dying, we rise to you, O Lord. Come, be our light. And I was just thinking about the darkness in this world and the darkness that I've felt in my own life. And as I was praying yesterday morning over this time and over this phrase, this prophetic verse in Isaiah kept coming back to me. And I kept hearing it. And then I had to Google it. Because you know when you kind of know part of the verse, but you're like, I don't really know exactly where that is. So I was like, let me Google that and I'll find it. And I found it. It's in Isaiah 9. 2. And it says, the people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. And I was trying to think, like, why was this the verse that was coming to my mind? Like, obviously, you can see the correlation between the darkness and the light. But I think what is so powerful about this verse is that it is a prophetic declaration, not of what is, but of what is to come. See, this verse recognizes that there are people who are walking in darkness, living in the land of deep darkness. And that even in those spaces, it says a great light will come. A light has dawned. I love waking up early in the morning and seeing like the first rays of dawn, just like peeking over the mountains. Any other morning people? Yeah, I love it. I love waking up so early in the morning and just seeing those first rays of light. If you've never seen a sunrise, you should try it sometime. Just start going to bed at like 7:30 and you'll be up at 5 a.m. no problem. That's how I do it, right? But the sunrise for me has become a daily, like, symbolic reminder that no matter the darkness, the light always comes. I have never woken up in the morning and been like, well, let's see if it happens today. Like, I've never thought, like, I don't know, man. I mean, it's risen every other day, but today might be the day. It just decides not to. Like, no matter the darkness, the light will always come. And my favorite way that this is presented in Scripture is Malachi 4:2. Malachi 4:2 says, the sun of righteousness shall rise with healing in its wings. You ever just needed like a reset, a do-over, some healing, a fresh start? Right? It says, every single morning when the sun rises, it rises with healing in its wings. And you can think about that healing as whatever big or small thing that you need in that moment. It's a chance for us to start again. And every single day becomes a constant reminder that there's nothing we can do to control the darkness, to stop the darkness from happening. It is out of our hands. But there's also nothing that we can do to stop the light. I believe fully that God's love and his healing will find us, even when we feel like we're too far lost or we're too far gone. I've experienced it in my own life where it didn't matter the darkness that I was in. There was no way that God's light was not going to find me. And I think David was feeling this truth when he said, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Not because I've been here before, not because I'm strong, not because I know how to get through this. I will fear no evil, for you are with me. I don't know about you, but I take a lot of comfort in knowing that God is with us in the valleys and in the shadows of death. I have this like side tangential thought real quick about shadows. The interesting thing to me about shadows is that they cannot exist without the light. Right? And so it's interesting as David is saying, like, I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. And he might have been feeling overwhelming despair and hopelessness, but the fact that there is a shadow means that there is light. Right? And yet again, this is a reminder for us that the light always shines in the darkness, even when we can't see it very clearly. And the darkness has not overcome it. This has been kind of a darker year for Drew and I. If you've listened to our last two talks, we've been in a fertility journey for almost 6 years now. And this year in particular has been one of the most difficult years, but also one of the most light-filled years that we've had. One of the most joyous, one of the most beautiful. And I think the reason that this passage spoke to me so much when I was looking at the Common Prayer book is because I feel it so deeply in my bones. With every fiber of my being, I knew that I could get up here today and talk with conviction about my love for Hulk Hogan and Macho Man Randy Savage, but I also knew that I could get up here with conviction and talk about the fact that even in our darkness, new life and new light is born. One of the most beautiful depictions of this concept and idea to me, a reminder that I just needed at the perfect time, was found in nature and something that Drew and I discovered this past summer when we were on sabbatical. We got to adventure for a day in Olympic National Park up in Washington, and I came upon the most wild thing as we were wandering through the Ho Rainforest, spelled H-O-H, Ho Rainforest. And I want to show you a picture of this thing that I had never seen before. If you're from the Pacific Northwest, I apologize for my ignorance. I had just never seen this before. So we're walking down this trail, and I see this giant, massive log just like on the forest floor. And then I see all of these trees growing out of this log. Has anybody ever seen this before? A fallen tree in the forest. They don't just die because of old age, okay? Sometimes they fall over because of lightning strikes. For whatever reason that they fall to the ground, for the sake of this metaphor, I don't want you to be thinking, I'm the nurse log because I'm in my 70s. This is not about that, okay? Anybody can be a nurse log at any point. But these nurse logs, they fall over and the log essentially dies. And what happens is that this fungi and this bacteria infiltrate kind of the log, and it begins to slowly over time break down. And it creates all of these holes and all of these like niches. God, I'm an embarrassing English teacher. Niche? Whatever it is, it creates crevasses. Great. It creates holes, more holes, deeper holes, other places in the bark. And in that, it begins to grow over time. So the holes get bigger, and over time, they become filled with all sorts of things. With soil, you can see this one here is filled with moss. It's got all sorts of other little things growing out of it, mushrooms, small plants. And what happens is as this nurse log begins to decay, tree seedlings that fall from the trees, these little tree seedlings, baby trees, are offered through the nurse log shade, nutrients, protection from disease and pathogens, everything that they need, the context for growth happens. And so these nurse logs that have fallen and have decayed become the perfect environment for new growth. And the symbolism was so impactful to Drew and I. At that time, we had just completed our IVF retrieval process, and we were waiting for news of our embryos. Like, how are our babies doing? Are we going to have 18 kids? Because right now, I feel like I need one. But we didn't know. We didn't know what was going to happen. We didn't know if they were going to say, hey, there's none. We're so sorry. And so we are just waiting in this complete state of overwhelm. I don't know if you've ever been waiting to get news on something that you cared about deeply, but like to say it was hard to think of anything else would be an understatement. And so we're in this moment where we are just like consumed by what is going to happen. What is this next step? And I'm standing in this giant rainforest looking at all these baby trees just growing from this rotting, decaying log. And all I could think is that's what God was doing for me. That's what God does for us. I just love nature. Like, a constant reminder all around us of the goodness and the love of God that never fails. Romans 1:20 says, for his invisible attributes, namely his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world and the things that have been made. So we are without excuse. See, creation was given to us as humans as a constant and daily reminder for us of God's nature, of his divine power, of his goodness, and his love for us. And whenever I think about nurse logs, I think about the fact that death is the breeding ground for new life. That when we feel like parts of us have been carved away or chipped or lost forever, it is God making space. It's God producing fertile soil in our lives for new growth. And yes, it would be amazing if we didn't have to be broken to experience those things. It would be so awesome if we could just be big, tall, amazing, strong trees and just start growing other trees, not branches, I know how science works, but like actual full other trees out of us. But here's the thing is that the best growth in all of the forest comes from these nurse logs. Over 90% of new trees grow from a fallen nurse log. Why? Because intact wood, not a good environment for growth. If you look at a living tree, did you know that only 5% of that tree is actually living? Isn't that wild? I had to like triple check that statistic. 5% of a living tree is actually living. Because see, there's all of these things inside of the tree, inside of the fibers of a tree that make it too tough and too hard for anything else to penetrate. And that wood doesn't provide any nutrients for the seedlings to grow. Here's what I want you to hear. Wood that has never been broken does not allow for the best growth. And I just want you to think about that in the context of your life. I'm not saying we should all walk around as broken humans, just like, oh, yay, I'm broken. Like, but I want you to hear, big, small, whatever the thing is, the broken, rotting, cracked open, decaying wood is the perfect context, the perfect soil for new seeds to take root and to grow. Dying, we rise to you. I don't even feel like I need to draw the connection. I'm hoping you're hearing it. Like dying, we rise to you. Oh Lord, come be our light. One of the incredible advantages that a nurse log provides to these seedlings that are looking to be rooted and to grow, one of the primary benefits that they get is better access to that light. See, if you're on the forest floor, it's covered. If you've ever been to the Ho Rainforest or the Pacific Northwest, like that entire floor is covered with ferns and evergreens and other growth. And the possibility that a seedling could fall and make it through all of that and transplant into good soil and then begin to grow is so minuscule. But then on top of that, even if it were able to do that, even if it were able to avoid all the broken parts and just hop into the fresh new soil, it wouldn't have any access to the light. But these nurse logs, they are elevated off of the ground. They fall over the lichen and over the ferns and over all the other things. And not only when that happens, but when they fall, they create an opening in the canopy for the light to come in. For the sake of this metaphor, go with me. God is the light, right? What the nurse logs are meant to remind us, what creation reminds us, is that we are never closer to the light. We are never closer to God than when we are in our brokenness. When we are growing out of those broken things is when we are closest to God. The psalmist echoed this and said, the Lord is close to the brokenhearted and he saves those who are crushed in spirit. I would be hard pressed to find anybody in this room who hasn't experienced some sort of brokenness. I don't mean that like your entire life needs to be falling apart for this talk to relate to you. But we all have those things, right? Those things that we just wish would be easier, right? If I just didn't have to go through that trial or that adversity or that thing. But see, God never promises us in any part of Scripture that we're going to avoid brokenness, that we're going to avoid trials, that we're going to avoid the hard things of life. All that he promises is that when we are brokenhearted and crushed in spirit is when he moves closest to us. He doesn't say you can avoid the valley of the shadow of death. He says, no, when you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I am with you. And I want to close with this. I feel like at this point I'm repeating myself a lot. Because this is such a simple, like, idea in my mind, but I think it bears hearing over and over and over again. And maybe that is the point, that we need to be reminded of this over and over and over again. Because you ever been through something hard and you're like, nailed it, and then you turn around and you're like, oh, that one, okay, cool, next, right? Like, this is something that is going to happen in our lives over and over and over again. We're gonna experience loss, big and small. We're going to experience pain. We're going to experience frustration. We're going to have bad days. And I think we just need to be reminded of this simple truth. There's one more incredible thing about nurse logs that I would love to tell you before I leave. What I think is so cool about nurse logs is that they don't just grow one little tree, right? When we were out in the Ho Rainforest, we were walking down and I saw this one nurse log that had so many trees on it, you couldn't even see the nurse log anymore. There was so much life and growth coming out of this one tree. And not only were there like dozens of other trees growing up, but there was all sorts of other life There were ferns and there was evergreens and mushrooms and moss and all those little niches and crevices. And what this reminded me of was God math. Have you guys been watching those videos? It's like, girl math, if it's free, it doesn't count, you know? Or it's like, if it's on sale and I buy it, that doesn't count. Or if I buy concert tickets that are in like 7 months from now, like, that doesn't count. It's basically free by the time we get there. Or if you book travel in a future year, that also doesn't count, right? Because by the time you get there, you won't even remember that you already paid for that thing. That's girl math. But what the nurse log reminded me of was God math. He says, I can take one broken thing in your life, one broken area, and not only bring new life for it once, but new life over and over and over again in ways that you could never hope or imagine. Ephesians says, now, to him who is able to do far more abundantly than we could ever ask or think. Let's be honest. I can ask and think about a lot. I know what I want, and it's a lot. It's not a lot of kids anymore, but it is a lot of things, right? And he says he is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or even think. I want you to think about the thing that you have been asking for and imagine that God's like, child's play. I can do way better than that. You're like, God, it would be really cool if you could take this one thing in my life and maybe fix that. And God's like, how about I use that one thing in your life as the context for a lifetime of growth, exponential growth. We're gonna finish up this morning by playing a song by Maverick City called More Than Able. And this song has been just an anthem for me over the past few months. Every morning when I had to get up and like to do my shots for IVF, I would play this song and then I would cry. I wish I had Bluey back then, it would have been great. I just kept crying all day long. But I love this song so, so much because it was an important reminder and I needed it every single day. I need to be reminded that God can do more. More. That he is more than able for anything that I could hope or dream or want or ask or imagine. That he can do miracles. That he can bring light from the darkness. That he can bring hope in moments of hopelessness. And that even when I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, that he is so close to me. And we're gonna sing this song, and I just wanna read some of the lyrics before we do. And it says, when did I start to forget all of the great things you did? The answer is as soon as things got hard. When did I throw away faith for the impossible? How did I start to believe that you weren't sufficient for me? And why do I talk myself out of seeing miracles? You are more than able. You are more than able. And who am I to deny what the Lord can do? It says, now I see all that I have and I've got my confidence back. And I put my trust in the one who still does miracles. It says, you do miracles. You are more than able, abundantly more than we could ever ask or imagine. And who am I to deny what the Lord can do? So if you would stand with us as we close, we're gonna sing this song together. And I just wanna make it available that if you are feeling something, whatever it is, big or small, during this next song, we would love to pray for you. We would love to stand with you. If you need prayer, we have an amazing prayer team, Nancy and Cliff. Pastor Derek is, oh, he's gone, never mind. He won't pray for you, but I'll pray for you. I'll come down here. But we would just love to take this time, and I would love to take this time. If you're not normally somebody who maybe engages in singing as your favorite act of worship, I would love it if you would just take a moment to open up the heart and to just hear what God might want to say to you. Whatever the thing was that as I was speaking, it was like rattling around in your head, I think that God speaks so clearly to us, but often we're not like listening fully. We're not putting the pieces together of what he's saying. So as we sing this song, I would love for you to just sit and to just listen to what God might be wanting to say to you. So I'm going to close this in prayer, and then we're going to go ahead and sing the song. God, I thank you so much that you are a God who is more than able to turn all of our darkness into light. God, I thank you that you not only meet us in our brokenness, but that you walk with us in the valleys. And you cause new life to grow from the shadows of death. God, I pray for every single person here this morning. Pray for every person listening to this later on the podcast, watching on the live stream. God, for everybody who hears the sound of my voice, God, I pray for those who feel like little seedlings, just so full of new growth and life, God, just desperate for your light. I pray that they would find you, God, when they seek you with all of their hearts, that they would rise to you, God, that you would come and that you would be their light. God, and I pray also for those who feel more like a nurse log, just broken, desperate for you to bring new life. God, I pray for all of those who are just longing to sense your presence. For those where hope feels far away. I pray, God, that you would allow us all to sense and feel your extravagant love over us. May we never forget that we serve a God who has done and can still do miracles. And as we're about to sing, God, you are not finished with us yet. God, there's nothing that you cannot do with the broken pieces of our lives. God, of our jobs, of our families, of our marriages. God, you are more than able to bring light and healing and wholeness, not once, but again and again and again. God, and this is our prayer. Dying, God, we rise to you. Oh, Lord, come and be our light. In Jesus' name, amen.
You are listening to the Makers Church podcast. For more information about our community, please visit makerschurch.org.